Hey guys, McElroy here. We don't have a regularly scheduled Autoline After Hours to bring you this week, so instead, we encourage you to listen to our special Autoline Live production of the 2013 Automotive Draft. This year, I think we've had one of the best panels we've ever assembled, including Chubba Chetta, the former editor of Car and Driver, Chris Pockert of Autoblog, and Joe White from The Wall Street Journal. So enjoy, and I'll be back after the show with a look ahead at some upcoming episodes of Autoline After Hours.
You're just seconds away from an Autoline exclusive. Our automotive fantasy draft is coming up. Welcome to the third annual Autoline Automotive Fantasy Draft. I'm your announcer for the evening, Charlie Vogelheim. You might remember me from my scintillating automotive analysis as a guest of Autoline After Hours. Or perhaps you'll recognize me as I've been improving the auto industry one hospitality suite at a time for almost 30 years. But enough about me for the moment. Let's get to the reason why you tuned in. This will be a fun discussion modeled after sports team and fantasy drafts where owners choose key players to build a winning team. In this case, the owners are building a championship auto company. For tonight's draft, we'll be broadcasting from two sites. The first is the online Draft Central, right here in the main studio, where we'll meet this year's team owners in just a bit. But also from our familiar war room, the home of our resident draft experts, who really need no introduction. But due to contractual obligations, we have to. Let me toss it to Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press and his tag team partner, the man who celebrates each Autoline draft with a new job. This year, plying his trade at Motor Trend, it's Scott Burgess. Take it away, boys.
Thank you, Charlie. And speaking of hospitality suites, I thought you were bringing something for us tonight.
Scott? I'm not sure what to do with that. It is going to be a really exciting night tonight, and we are looking forward. There's some new rules that are coming into play with this year's draft, and it'll actually require some of the new people on the draft panel. It seems like there's always a new panel, except for one person. And for some reason, when you own the building, you always get to be in the show.
I think Chip is trying to replace him, though.
Well, we don't know how that's going to work. But it should be a fun night tonight, and we're really looking forward to analyzing all the picks and really kind of making fun of the people out there.
And hoping that we can spell all the names this year. That's my goal, be able to spell everybody I talk about.
Well, one of the things that's really exciting is that this time is that it's not just people that they're selecting. You're actually building your whole car company. And so there's some geography that's going to be involved and other complicated things like that.
Yeah. And the opportunity to insult entire cities and states.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's not let that pass, America.
We'd kick it back to you, but we don't know how to do that.
Well, thanks, guys. Mark, I'll bring the food right over. And, by the way, we did take down the board behind you, so you won't have to spell anything, and I think we'll all benefit from that. We'll look forward to both of your insightful and amusing analysis throughout the night, I'm sure. But back here at Draft Central, let me introduce our team. Owners, starting with our host of the festivities, Mr. John McElroy of Autoline and Dymaxium Motors. Also with us is analysis Chubba Chetta, representing his car company, Cheetah Motors. Next up, Autoblog's Chris Palkert and Mitty Motors. With our final team owner this evening, Joe White, The Wall Street Journal, and his company, Rat Rod Global Motors. Right now, let me toss it to the table. I want each of you owners to tell us a bit about your company, its naming, and what you're looking forward to in tonight's draft. Why don't we start with you, John?
Okay, well, mine is Dymaxium Motors because I'm a huge fan of Buckminster Fuller, who came up with the Dymaxium car. In fact, I'm going to recreate a modern version of the Dymaxium car. It's a very different kind of vehicle than anything we've got today, far faster, far more efficient. Really, the industry hasn't caught up with the design that he came up with in the early 1930s. And so be on the lookout for Dymaxium because it's going to change the industry.
Well, I'm Chubba Chetta, and my company is Cheetah Motors. The cheetah is the fastest land-based animal around, can run over 60 miles an hour, and it's very appropriate to my background. I spent over 28 years with Car and Driver magazine, which is all about cars and how much fun they are and how engaging they are. And the car company I want to run is going to build only fun and engaging products.
Fun and engaging products sounds a lot like what we're doing over at MIDI Motors. I'm Chris Paukert, and MIDI Motors is named after the James Thurber short story, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, who just really gets involved in his own world about the joy of motoring and the joy of life. And we're not looking to be the largest. We're not looking to have scale or have partners. We just want to have fun. So we're looking at simple cars done well for the driver.
And I'm Joe White with the Wall Street Journal. And Radrod Global Motors, as the logo probably suggests, is an effort to kind of bring back to life the kind of outlaw, funky ethic and aesthetic of 1960s drag racing, you know, Big Daddy Don Garlitz and all those guys. When people liked cars and had fun with cars, and enjoyed car culture, in contrast to all the mopes who are running around saying that nobody likes cars anymore and the kids don't want to drive and all that stuff. And I want to bring a brand back to the market where basically you're out there to break the law.
Well, that's fantastic, guys. But before we get into the actual picks, let me run down a few of the rules we have here in the rounds. You've already seen a preview in the war room, so already you can tell that there's a little bit difference from last year. Tonight, our team owners will be making choices from five distinct categories, which the first 2 years were made up exclusively of executives. But we figured that that was a little too easy, so we've upped the ante. Round one will be the U.S. city where you will locate your company headquarters. And again, team choices cannot be duplicated. In round two, you will choose the head of your company. Your choice can include anyone living or deceased executive, and that could be from any country or any industry. In round three, we want you to pick a living U.S. minority automotive executive. Now, the minority obviously could be defined by ethnicity or gender specifically, and in this case, that would be female. So, round four, an existing U.S. auto plant to produce your flagship product. Once again, you can't duplicate choices. And the final round, round five, who's the perfect spokesperson for your brand? Team choices may not be duplicated, and it cannot be a fictional character. So there you have a few other rules will be unique to other choices, and we'll highlight those at the beginning of each round. But before we get started, let me tell you, our trusty viewers, how you can be involved this evening. If you're watching us live right now on our website, you can scroll down below the player where you'll find ballots for each round. There you can vote for who you think had the best choice in that particular round. As you're listening to Scott and Mark dissect the picks, you can vote then. And then at the end of the evening, you can also choose who you thought was the overall winner, who picked the best in the 2013 Autoline Fantasy Draft. A word of warning, though, you only get one chance to vote, so make it count. Okay, then. That wraps it up for the prelims. Now let's head over to the main table for the first choice of the 2013 Autoline Automotive Fantasy Draft. Okay, once again, in round one, the owners will be choosing the city in the United States that will be the headquarters for their companies, starting with Mr. John McElroy and Dymaxium Motors.
Well, this is one I had to really struggle on, where to locate the headquarters for Dymaxion Motors. It will have a geodesic dome. In fact, that's why it's part of my logo, because, of course, Buckminster Fuller invented the geodesic dome. And I thought, well, you know, if I have a different kind of company and I have to be in the U.S. and may as well go to Michigan because this is where I live, make it easy. Ann Arbor's a different kind of place. And I thought, yeah, that could be right. But then, you know, Detroit is the home of the automotive industry, and Detroit downtown right now is changing so much. It's attracted all kinds of young people. There's a lot of artists. There's a lot of craftspeople in there right now. In fact, I'm told you it's very difficult to even find any kind of apartment. I'm not talking about the whole city, mind you. I'm talking about downtown. And so I thought, you know, it really needs the help. It looks like it's got a young, vibrant culture of craftspeople and artists. That's where I'm putting my headquarters.
Boy, it does help to go first, doesn't it?
Dang, you had that too, eh, Joe?
No, not quite. You'll see.
Okay. Chad, well, you. Well, that's a good one.
Let me transfer it over. This is my only job, please. Chubachetta, Cheetah Motors. Where would you put your headquarters?
Well, I have a completely different take on this. I'm a firm believer that cars reflect the location where car companies are located. We've all seen over the years how German cars have great high-performance abilities, great brakes, and that's because of the Autobahn. It ain't an accident. So I was thinking about where in the United States do we have a big city where we also have great roads and good driving? And my choice is Denver, Colorado. You've got the mountains. You've got some of the best roads in the whole country available to you. Also, you know, there's not a lot of traffic in Denver. I mean, there are at some times, but it's not terrible. It's a great place to live. So even if there aren't a lot of auto people, you can definitely attract people to come to Colorado. And by the way, it's centrally located. It's about 2.5 hours from almost any place in the country. So it's actually a great place to have corporate headquarters, Denver.
All right, Trevor. With a third choice in the 2013 Fantasy Draft, Chris Palkett, MIDI Motors.
Well, MIDI Motors looked long and hard at Detroit, and we really liked a lot of what it had to offer. We liked the low cost of entry, and we liked the engineering pool of resources that are available. We even looked at nearby Cleveland for a lot of the similar reasons and the fact that it's on the comeback trail at least a little bit. But we decided to go to Silicon Valley, which I realize is a completely opposite sort of thing, but we're actually not going for the expertise as far as the computing power goes. We really wanted that sort of lateral thinking that area cultivates, and we really like the concept of 3D printing, and they're really working on a lot of innovations out there.
All right.
Okay, and with the final? The final choice in the first round, Autoline Automotive Draft, representing Rat Rod Global, Mr. Joe White.
Well, yeah. Now, Rat Rod Global, I guess it probably should be based somewhere like Bakersfield, California, or somewhere like that. But I think the CEO wants to, you know, it's all about where the CEO wants to live, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what a company is all about. Since Ann Arbor was not picked, I'm going to locate Rat Rod in Ann Arbor. And I think there's a rational reason for doing that, which is that despite the sort of retro name and image craft around Rat Rod, this has got to be a company that is about technology. And if you can't be in Silicon Valley, you need to be in a place where there's a cluster of expertise. And I think Ann Arbor, Detroit, for anything that has four wheels, is that cluster. It's the Silicon Valley of cars. So Ann Arbor it is.
Okay, now but we're going to get some comment from the war room. But before we go there, I want to remind all of our viewers, don't forget to get in, out and vote what you think of these choices that you've heard. Scroll down under the player, vote, vote, vote. And I mean that only once. Now off to Mark and Scott in the war room.
Oh, God, what I would give for the travel budget that John McElroy had and used before he picked Detroit.
Well, it's very interesting. It sounded more like a mercy pick. Like, Detroit, yeah, I don't want to move either.
Detroit, but the good parts version.
No, it's some very interesting choices. I would like to point out that Silicon Valley is not actually a city, though Chris may be talking about that area in California.
And perhaps you could use a 3D city printer to make a city.
You know, or I think it's a fabulous idea, and what Chris is really talking about is instead of manufacturing cars, we'll start printing them. And eventually that technology is going to come around and everybody could just print up a car right in their driveway. And so it's a really good idea. I think Chubba had a really interesting pick. Denver, centrally located, lots of good roads, 3 months a year. And, you know, there's some other really nice things about that. And, you know, one of the problems that I think Detroit runs into is that people are still moving away. We were the only city or only state, Michigan, to lose people in 2010.
Oh yeah, but there's always 2013. We can be the only city to lose twice. But we've also got Ann Arbor, which actually is growing. And you know, as much as I would love to also mock the you know travel budget that took, because I know just how far that is from Joe White's house. I think he picked it for the shortest commute. There are a lot of things going for Ann Arbor. If you want a combination of you know automotive expertise and you know some people with new thinking, some high tech, you know there are things to be said for that one.
Absolutely. You know, nobody really brought into account, you know, what they would be using their headquarters for as opposed to any of their facilities anywhere else. Denver comes out nice because of the short distance to travel to everywhere.
I'm still not sure that picking where you're going to build an automaker, found an automaker in terms of air flight times is the most logical connection.
It didn't say it has to make sense. It just said that it's one where I think that it's certainly an interesting pick. You know, nobody picked D.C. as their headquarters, and they could be right in the mix of the regulatory aspect of the auto industry.
I believe that's why nobody picked D.C. Nobody wants to be in the mix of the regulatory.
New York City, Boston, all of those places were given up.
And nobody went with climate, honestly. I mean, how many of us, if we were, you know, starting our own business someplace, wouldn't pick someplace that, you know, was going to be gorgeous every day of the year?
Key West would be a prime example of a place to pick.
And an ample supply of rum.
Yes.
And that would be very good for the designers. And cigars, you could get Bob Lutz to come in and you know, be a consultant just for the free cigars.
He would consult all these companies as
that's
his,
true.
Right? So yeah. That wouldn't be a problem either.
And we know what the headquarters building of Dymaxion Motors looks like. And I think we have to give extra points for that.
Yeah, John is really tweaking up the geek on this round.
You know, Buckminster Fuller is now trending on Twitter.
Yes. That's all the analysis we have for this one.
And then some.
Yes, it was then some. Thank you, guys. Now let's check who you, the viewers, thought won on that particular round. And as we look at the screen here, we can see that it's an exciting horse race here with John McElroy and Detroit way out in front. Joe White coming in second, and then Chubba and way out in Silicon Valley. Coming in fourth place. As a Californian, I appreciate the opportunity to have you come out and help us out with the taxes there, which is always welcome. I do want to mention to our beloved analysts in the war room that it's understood California has a pretty good climate. You might want to check that out one of these days. And I just need to clarify with Chava, the 2 hours from anywhere, was that from the airport into town, or was that actually from the airport somewhere else? So
airport into town is 20 minutes. I've done it many a time.
All right. Hey, are we ready for the graphics on round two? Because I sure am. Okay, this round, our panel is choosing the head of his company. It can be from any industry, and to make it even more interesting, that person could be living or deceased, but not still working at a company as deceased. And that person to pick in the first round, choosing Chubba Chetta Cheetah Motors.
Very nice alliteration there. Thank you very much. I prefer to stay in the here and now, so I'm going to leave those executives who've assumed room temperature to my fellow panelists here. And the person I will pick is someone who's very much alive and actually readily available at this point, Wolfgang Dürheimer. Wolfgang Dürheimer was the chief engineer, essentially, at Porsche for a good chunk of his career. He's a brilliant guy in the way of the German engineers. He's not 120 IQ smart. He's 160 IQ smart. The current 911 was largely developed under his leadership. The Cayenne was produced under his leadership. He can do more than sports cars. He ran Bentley very nicely for a few years. Then he moved over to Audi and somehow flamed out in 10 months or so. And I don't think we quite know the story of what happened there, but this is a brilliant guy. This is a guy like Ferdinand Piëch without quite so much megalomania. And I think he'd be an ideal auto company CEO, especially for a company that's going to build fast and exciting cars. Chris?
Well, here at MIDI Motors, we're all about the everyday man. We're all about the unsung hero. And who could be more unsung than André Lefebvre? He worked for Citroën, and he was one of the leading engineers behind the DS, which is a car I believe that Dymaxion has studied closely.
Yes, it has.
He also
benchmark car.
That's right.
What is his temperature?
I don't even know if his body parts are together enough to have a temperature at this point. he passed away in 1964. But he was responsible for a wide breadth of products, from the simple, like the Duchevo, and the H-Van. And he was a striking-looking gentleman there. But he also, he was a racer. He won the 1927 Monte Carlo Rally, and he was a fan of new materials. He's one of the reasons why the DS has a lot of cutting-edge materials in the interior and all of that. He was one of the first guys to walk around in a nylon shirt, and he's a really fascinating character that doesn't get enough credit, and we're really excited to have him on board. So, Joe?
All right. Well, you know, this is a tough one because, you know, living, dead, I mean, there's so much. I thought about several living CEOs who could probably do justice to my concept. Alan Mulally, Elon Musk, although I'm sure Elon Musk would think Rad Rod Global's just heinously, you know, backward looking. But I'm going to go with Soichiro Honda because I guess it's probably obvious why I would do that. But because he and certainly the company, first of all, he's one of the few people who since World War II, maybe the only, with an asterisk for Elon Musk, who's founded a car company that turned into a genuine global competitor and has stayed viable all through. Second, at least my take on him is that he's a guy who really grasped and mastered the idea of simplicity in design, but with you know, performance and a nice balance of fun to drive and environmental consciousness. And believe it or not, that's what we're going for at Rat Rod Global.
Rat Rod Honda. Should be a song about it. Joe, you could do that in the band.
Right. That's right. We could do that in the band.
Well, you know, when it came to Dymaxion Motors looking at who should be the CEO, at first we thought, oh, this is easy. Let's go get Bob Lutz. I mean, he's done it. He ran Chrysler. He ran GM for all practical purposes from a car standpoint. And he never made CEO of a car company. But then we thought, you know, when you open up the books of history and now we can choose from anyone in history, wow, that makes it tough. I always admired Red Poling at Ford. I thought he did a fantastic job for the company. Still on an inflation-adjusted basis, I believe he delivered the highest net profit that the company has ever enjoyed, certainly the highest operating profit. But like I said, the whole history book is there. And so I got to go with Alfred Sloan. Because Sloan not only completely invented General Motors into what it became, in the process, and Peter Drucker said this well before I ever did, he invented the car industry as we know it. Henry Ford perfected, you know, the whole manufacturing mass production process, but it was Sloan that created the whole tier process, the national distribution, and especially the finance. Remember, GMAC goes back as old as GM does, and Sloan... Not only that, when he retired from GM, he gave this very Eisenhower-esque speech. As Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex. Sloan's parting speech to everybody was, beware of financially-based decisions. And I think, wow, here's a guy warning. The finance guys are going to take over this company if you're not careful. And look what happened. I want that kind of guy running Dymaxion Motors. I'm going with Alfred Sloan. Chubba?
No, Chubba's already
gone.
That
was it? Oh.
Yes. We are ready for analysis. That's off to our draft analyst to look at that round. But remember, viewers, you got a chance to vote on this too. So go ahead and log on the website and let's hear what you want us to know. Let's go to the war room.
Wow, it's a very interesting selection of leaders for these four companies coming in. I think John made a very impassioned speech for why Alfred Sloan should be there. A man was born 10 years after the Civil War had ended and would be running John's
Wikipedia
futuristic.
Boy here.
Yes, it was Wikipedia. But it is an exciting list of people that they have. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that immediately after naming, I think it was Inspector Clouseau as the head of MITI Motors, that Chris Paukert said that he was the first car would be called the Douchemobile. Was that it? Something like that. So I mean, you will need a strong marketing executive, you know, on your hands, on your team that way. Chubba, I mean, the history of the industry is littered with brilliant executives that Ferdinand Piëch fired, and Wolfgang Dürheimer is the latest and certainly one of the best. If you want to pick somebody to, you know, launch a, you know, to, you know, get a car company started, the guy behind the 911 and the Porsche Cayenne is a pretty good start. You
know. Absolutely. I mean, the Cayenne is one that has begrudgingly become the best-selling Porsche in the U.S., and I think that any of these car companies that are starting up are going to be relying on all those U.S. sales to pad their profits before they start expanding overseas.
And speaking of that, I mean, Joe made a very good point with Soichiro Honda. I mean, how many people since the Second World War have started car companies and not lost their shirts. And by God, if there's anybody who knows how to, you know, start build cars that Americans want, you know, it would be Mr. Honda.
It's almost an oxymoron, though, to have a Honda rat rod. I mean, I think that one of the beauties of a true rat rod is to always be working on it. One of the great things with Joe's business plan is the fact that that you only use primer paint and that you won't actually ever have any colored vehicles.
That's right.
As well. It's one where he's going to save millions of dollars in the production of his vehicles.
That's true, and it'll be quicker as well. Just having to do that one coat doesn't really matter if they're dry when they go out the door or not.
No, yeah. No. I think they come with a drip pan to all of those cars. So it'll be an easy requirement and probably a little more money for the rat rod to pull in.
And I think that, you know, leaves us with the one question for the next round, which would be Homer Simpson. I mean, you know, John McElroy. What great Detroiter does he find this time around?
Well, and it was interesting. You know, Bob Lutz was overlooked last year as well. And, you know, I think that all of them just can name Lutz vice chairman of their companies, and then that'll be enough.
And he would probably think that he was running them anyway, so it would be just as good as if he were actually the CEO.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A helicopter pad, though. We have to have a helicopter pad on top of the geodesic dome. Oh, it'd be fun watching a helicopter try to land on a geodesic dome.
That's yeah. A skilled pilot. It would be a skilled pilot.
Yeah. Can we have an animation of that? Because, I mean, the back office is doing such a phenomenal job getting all the pictures, you know, of everybody up. What we need now is a helicopter bouncing off a geodesic dome.
Back to you, Charlie.
Well, thank you very much. You give me lots to work with. And for those of you at home that have turned this in on its third year into a drinking game and using Lutz for a key shot opportunity, you should be up to 7 by now. So, oh, wait. Guys, before we check out our viewers' thoughts in round 2, the control room is telling me, what is that? We've received a video message for the choices on this last round. We'd like to play that now. Can you do that, control room? You've got something to show us?
Hey, what's the matter with you guys? I was good enough to run Fuking Motors, not good enough to run one of your companies? What the hell's going on back there?
Well, Mr. DiLorenzo is available, and he's practicing his helicopter landing on geodesic domes as we speak. So I think that there was a lot of people out there right now. And again, if you weren't chosen or were the second choice here, please remember, John will be up at the car conference later on in Traverse City, and you can go toe-to-toe with him about everything that happened here tonight. So we all know how Peter feels. That's how I feel. Let's see how our viewers feel. And so we are on right now with the choices. Hometown favorite, once again. Boy, John, everyone wants to be on your show, it looks like. I only voted 10 times there. John McElroy was first choice. Chubba with Wolfgang came in second. Joe with Mr. Honda in third. And apparently that swarmingly good-looking picture of the French, Mr. Andre, did not win over the hearts of America. So, but it was a valiant effort. I certainly think so. Maybe it was the name of the car that got him in the end. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is getting fascinating. And we're already up to round number 3. This is going to end way too quick, but you can play it over and over again. Round 3 graphics, please. Fantastic. This time the owners are choosing a living U.S. minority automotive executive. We're defining minority once again by culture or gender. In this round, we're starting with Mr. Chris Pockert, MIDI Motors.
Thank you. Well, you know, we were thinking about DiLorenzo, but we couldn't really figure out what minority he could fit into. So really, we're going to pick up some low-hanging fruit here. We're going with Ralph Giel, who's presently the CEO, and I can see Joe is hanging his head right now, CEO of Dodge. He's an incredible stylist. And one of the things about MIDI Motors is we need everybody to wear a lot of hats because we're a small company. We're going to do low-volume products, you know, designed for the enthusiast. And who better than somebody who's got, you know, just high octane running right through his veins, like Ralph. He's a racer, he's a stylist, and we're going to need one of those too. And he's just a great guy, so we're really excited to welcome him on board. So, Joe?
Well, of course you got one of my choices, but I have others. You know, I don't want to make this too serious, but you know, this is actually a really interesting question because when you ponder the limited field of people who qualify for this question, it says something not all that good about where the industry is after all these years. And by the way, I don't know if women would consider themselves minorities anymore since they're 51% of the population and the majority of the buying public in a lot of markets. So, but off my soapbox, and I will now answer your question. My choice, and some of you may know this gentleman from his ventures into sports team ownerships, is Shad Khan, who runs Flexengate, the company that makes bumpers and a whole bunch of other stuff. And quickly, I met Shad Khan back in the late 1980s when he was running a small bumper production factory out in Champaign, Illinois, or thereabouts, and had been picked by Toyota for one of their early efforts at making over an American supplier in their image, and basically transferring the Toyota production system to him. And he took the lessons and he ran with them, and now I think he's worth something like $2.5 billion. He runs a very large, very successful supplier company. I think he just bought not only the Jacksonville Jaguars but also a British soccer team. So again, if you're looking for someone who can build something from nothing, this guy has done it, and he's my guy.
Wow. That's pretty good. So, when we first did this fantasy draft, I picked Kathy Ligocki as my CEO, and I still think she'd be great. But I'm not going to pick her right now because I've picked her before. And I thought also of Roy Roberts, who hit a very high level at General Motors, retired from GM and went on to go and try to resuscitate the Detroit schools. Hasn't quite saved them yet, but he's made massive, massive improvements there. But I think Roy's ready to retire. I also thought, going after another woman, Nancy Gioia at Ford, who I think is got all the energy and has what it takes to really run a company, but she's a little young yet. I think I might pick her in a future draft. And so I'm going to go as, for my minority executive, Rodney O'Neill, who's the chairman of Delphi Corporation. Been there a long time. I think he even started back in the GM days. Has taken the company through bankruptcy. I mean, Steve Miller started it all, but you know, Rodney was really left with the total mess to clean up. He's done it. It looks to me like Delphi is getting back on its feet. It's always been a company with pretty cool technology. And so I'm going with Rodney O'Neill.
Well, you made a very good choice, and Ralph was on my list. And in truth, I'm sure I could lure him away to Denver. But, you're entitled to have a choice or two of your own. So
he's not as good with forced induction motors, and you're going to need those up there.
Well, perhaps that's true, but he can understand that. But in any case, I have other good choices. And this is another guy who at this point is moving up in the company, and his name is Hau Thai Tang at Ford. He was recently VP of Engineering, just moved up to Group VP of Purchasing, which is a promotion definitely on the corporate hierarchy, although can't possibly be as much fun as being VP of Engineering. But Hau is a brilliant guy. He knows cars. And, of course, I'm an engineer myself. Durheimer's an engineer. Engineers can learn finance. Finance, of course, have no hope of learning engineering. So if you have engineers on staff, they can do everything. So my choice is Hau Thai Tang.
Sounds like an MIT guy.
All right. Well, as we head back to the guys for some perspective on that round, we can see, let's see that snazzy war room graphic one more time, and don't forget to vote.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to start off with Rat Rod Motors' choice. I mean, Joel pointed out that women are more than half of the population, and then the entire panel managed not to choose a single woman. So I'm going to say that they still do count, and there are lots of good ones out there. Talking about the changes that have taken place in the industry, one of the things that I find fascinating is, you know, the new top folks at GM have taken GM from a company that had very few high-level women to one that's got an awful lot in very senior positions right now. That's the first thing that occurred to me. The second is that I think Rat Rod Motors has established itself as the lead company to be run by somebody who looks like a Bond villain. That is one of the great mustaches on Earth, and I think you have to make full use of that in your marketing plans. Scott?
Well, it's an excellent point. It was, one of the tricks, and this is always kind of a slippery topic, the car makers are improving minorities and women in executive leaderships. And it's essential for them to do that. I think that if they want to reach, more than half of all the buyers that are going to be buying cars, they need to find better ways to relate. I was surprised that some of the more common names that we didn't hear. We didn't hear Ed Welburn, head of design at GM, or Fred Diaz, who is now over at Nissan, but it headed up Ram.
Term at Ram, yeah.
We did want to run a correction, a Fox News correction type thing. If you want to scroll this by, Ralph Gilles is president and CEO of SRT, not Dodge. But he's still a great person and a good designer. So I think that it's interesting to hear Chubb's perspective with the idea that you want that creative engineer, because the engineer is going to get something done that the designer won't.
And Hao Tai Tang, the man who is responsible for the current generation of the Mustang, I mean, he took a wonderful old name that had really sort of, you know, fallen on hard times and, you know, put it back at the top of the industry in a lot of ways. I mean, it's hard not to like him. And certainly Rodney O'Neill, anybody who, you know, survived, you know, not just Delphi's bankruptcy, but the god-awful mess that Delphi was when GM spun it off in the first place, just to still be on your feet, much less to be turning that into a going concern. That's a real accomplishment.
It does cast some doubt on maybe John's five-year business plan, if he really needs a bankruptcy specialist running the company that knows how to handle some of those things. That could be all of the plan.
Yeah, a bankruptcy specialist might actually be a better person to be John's successor, now that I think about it. Back to Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie, it's all
Why
yours.
Why not?
Well, thank you very much for that very much in-depth insight. And no, a couple quick things I need to clarify. Ralph was not picked just because he's Canadian. Is that correct?
That is correct, okay. Although it helps.
And Kathy called, and she doesn't mind being picked every year, by the way. So if you want to change anything up on that. Well, let's see what the voters thought, because we do have some reaction. And oh, my gosh, you know, Chris, you were ahead there for a while, and Chubba's just now taking the lead here. So good choice from you, Chubba, and certainly one that the crowd agrees with. So, once again, if you weren't picked or you're a second choice for anyone here, you're not alone. Do not despair. I, too, was not the first choice to be here tonight. There was a long list of preferred speakers here who were apparently busy or showing the good sense to preserve their career or self-esteem, of which I have neither. But I am just thrilled to be here tonight. So let's get right on to the next one here. We're already to round four. Oh, one other clarification. That last round wasn't designed just to prevent Bob Lutz from being mentioned. There's another shot. Okay, here we go. Where are we? We're on to round four. Let's see the graphics. Okay, here with the first pick on the next round is choosing the existing United States auto plant that produces or will produce their company's flagship product. And the head of Ratrod Global Motors, Mr. Joe White, where are you going to build the cars?
I'm going to build them in Detroit because I have the first pick in this round. I'm going to build them at Jefferson North, naturally. Again, with these sort of the whole retro thing that Ratrod represents, you got to have a Motown address, at least for the, you know, made in Motown, made in the Motor City. I don't know. Plus, Jefferson North is making boatloads of money for Chrysler right now and seems to be going great guns and doing just fine. Why not? Why not Detroit? Why not Jefferson North?
Well, that's very interesting because Dymaxion Motors has been looking in the Detroit area, too. We really focused on the Rouge plant because we believe that Henry Ford had the right idea in going with vertical integration. I mean, why give all those suppliers their profit margins when you can keep that and do it in-house? But Dymaxion's headquarters are going to be in Detroit, and why not have the manufacturing in Detroit? The Rouge, of course, is in Dearborn. So what plant is available? And, of course, the most obvious, easiest one to move into is the Packard plant. That mile-long poster child of absolute destruction, post-industrial destruction. But the bones are still there. I mean, it's taken more than half a century for the blight of Detroit to take its bite, and the place is still standing. So we're going to bulldoze it clean. We're going to leave that big block of, I think, granite with the words Packard or the word Packard chiseled into it. And that's where Dymaxion Motors, in a very vertically integrated basis, is going to build its cars.
Oh, you're just going for the enterprise zone tax breaks.
Oh, are there some of those?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, at Cheetah Motors, we want to build fast cars and fun cars. But people who drive those kind of cars still want a reliable, well-built car, and we want to make some money. So we want an efficient plant, a plant that can churn out a lot of cars and churn out cars that are of really high quality. And there's really only one choice. That's the Georgetown, Kentucky Toyota plant. Last year, it cranked out over 300,000 cars, and it's consistently been high on the J.D. Power IQS survey. When you look at that combination of the volume it's produced and the quality it's produced, it's the best plant in the country, no question, and that's the one I want for Cheetah Motors.
Well, very interesting. We looked at MIDI Motors long and hard at the Detroit area, and since we're a small company, we thought about the Conner Avenue facility where the Viper is made, but they're only churning out about 12 cars a day. And we'll probably do a little bit better than that. We need cheap labor, too, but we wanted a state-of-the-art plant. So we're going down to Spartanburg, South Carolina, for BMW's facility. They know how to build volume models with some of their sport utility vehicles, but they also know how to build niche models like the Z3 and Z4. And I really want a racetrack. And there's one of those down there. There's a delivery center, and there's a performance driving school. And all of our guys, you know, when they purchase a MIDI motor, they're going to driving school. Joe?
I made my choice.
Nope.
Jeff North. We're
good. Yes, we're all set. We're all set for analysis here. Four very interesting choices throughout the country here, even a plant that's not really a plant. But that's just me. Let's see what our analysts have to say about this.
Well, I've got two thoughts on this. First of all, if we were playing industry buzzword drinking games rather than Bob Lutz, John McElroy would be in the lead because I have him scoring big with both inflation-adjusted sales and now the ever-popular vertical integration of production. The Packard plant, I think he forgot to mention one of the great assets that's got. All of the graffiti art inside of it it'll be a tremendous inspiration to the design team, and probably some of it you can actually sell.
It's an open-air facility for sure right now, and that may be what they're going for.
It's very green. I mean, there are trees growing through many of the floors.
Absolutely, and it's something to consider. There's a lot of really interesting choices here.
There we go, and we have the beautiful Banksy artwork, which was, you know, for those who don't live in the Detroit area, although it's hard to believe anyone doesn't based on these choices, that Banksy, you know, mural was the cause of a real, you know, battle between a couple of art galleries recently, and the current owner of the Packard plant, who I'm sure would be happy to give it to John, actually came out from under his rock where he has been hiding while not paying taxes for the last 40 years and said, oh no, that plant belongs to me, I want the Banksy art.
Wow, there's a lot going on there, Mark, with what you just said.
it's going in the wisp.
I think that some of the facilities that were mentioned in this were interesting choices as well. When Kentucky was selected, it is the Toyota plant is a great plant, and it cranks out vehicles. I don't think that any of these companies are going to be ready for that kind of volume. But
I think we do have to give a shout out to, you know, the plant for being the first time in the history of Chubba Chetta's commentating on the auto industry that he picked a Toyota first in any category. <That's>,
absolutely true. It was never one of the ten best.
I'm afraid not. No.
South Carolina was also a nice choice when you can include a racetrack in your driving or in your manufacturing facility. I think that says something. It's a lot of confidence, though not a lot of confidence in your drivers when they have to go to a special school just to learn how to drive the machine you built.
A very good point. And when you're talking about your volume aspirations are a plant that can build BMW X6s, I'm not sure. You're not really reaching for the sky there.
No, you're not. And, in the Detroit plant, where the Cherokee's made, Grand Cherokee.
Jefferson North, yeah.
Is a great facility. Pretty soon they'll be cranking out Maseratis, too.
And I've actually lost track of whether they have broken into double digits with the number of recalls of vehicles from that plant this month. So it's a real show of confidence as well. And, you know, once again, I think that, you know, the city of Detroit is getting so many shout-outs, it's hard to believe that we are a bankrupt joke.
And I am surprised that no one said imported from Detroit. I mean, it was the catchphrase that was just hanging out there to grab, and nobody decided to grab it. But it's
still time for an M&M reference, I'm sure, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. If we can get Ben, if you could get that photo up of M&M, we'd appreciate it.
And some music. Oh, no, we don't have the money to pay for rights to music.
Back to you, Charlie.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the positive statements that you've been making have certainly brought this group to tears. Speaking of, you know, as we look at the votes here, we see that there is a winner, and not by much. Sorry, John, came in second on this one. Chava Chetta's choice of Cheetah, and one of the questions we're getting is, if Chava is spelled C-S and Chetta is spelled C-S, why is Cheetah spelled C-H, for crying out loud?
Well, that's a sop to the American public here.
Well, thank you.
As an international company, it might well be C-S.
Okay, but you were the clear choice of our viewers also in terms of picking the Toyota plant down in Georgetown.
It's the only real plant, after all. I'm surprised it won by so little.
Hey, mine was real.
Yes, and don't forget, there's always the NUMMI plant out in California if you want to go see how Joe's doing out there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are already at our fifth and final round of the night. I'd ask for a drum roll if I thought we could get one. So finally, here at number five, our team owner's last choice of the evening, they choose the perfect spokesperson for their brand, and it cannot be fictional character. We'll start this final round with John McElroy. You don't mind if I call you John, do you?
Not at all.
Thank you very much.
You can call me that all night.
Diaxima Motors, who's your choice? John.
Boy, this was a tough one because, number one, you pick anybody alive right now and you're going to piss off everybody else in the business. But I'm going with somebody who is deceased because it is probably one of the best PR people that was ever in the business that I knew. In fact, I believe he was the first vice president of public relations in the industry. I think this is true. And that's Tony DeLorenzo. And everyone's going to say, oh, you're picking him because he was Peter DeLorenzo's dad. And that's not the reason. The reason is because when I first got into the business, I mean, I'm cub reporter, didn't know anything of what was going on. Tony DeLorenzo somehow found out that I was in the business, sought me out, welcomed me to the auto industry, as he said. You're going to love being part of this. And I just instantly liked the guy. And he also went on to have one of the greatest lines that I think any PR person in the business has ever said. This was in the late 1970s when, for the first time ever, General Motors reported $1 billion profit for one quarter. And this was national headlines. I don't know if you guys remember all that. And there was this whole big discussion, you know, could this be ethically right that a corporation could make $1 billion in just one quarter? And somebody once asked Tony, what's your job at GM? What do you really do? And he said, my job is to make $1 billion sound like it's not a lot of money. And I thought, not only is that a great line, here's a guy who is really the only PR person in my career to seek me out and tell me, welcome to the auto industry. That's my PR guy, Tony DeLorenzo.
Before I give you my selection, I will point out to the guys in the peanut gallery that some Toyotas actually have made Car and Driver's 10 best list over the past 30 years. Not a lot of them, but some have, and some have even won comparison tests. As far as the spokesperson,
Nothing out of the Georgetown plant.
Probably nothing out of the Georgetown
plant. Just wanted that clarification, Chubba.
That's correct.
Sorry.
But cars aren't designed at the Georgetown plant. They're assembled there. And I'm not really thinking of a PR person here. I'm thinking of a brand spokesman. And for Cheetah Motors, I want someone who's iconoclastic, classy, but has certain of the traditional manly virtues. And, of course, there's nobody living in the current public stream that way today, right now. Can't trust the sports stars, National Felons League and all that. You never know what they're going to pull. And your typical actor and actress isn't there either. So I have to go with someone deceased. And my choice is Steve McQueen. Now, of course, Steve McQueen would never do a commercial, which is why he'd be the perfect guy to actually be your public spokesperson. And since he's dead and I can choose anyone, I can pick a guy who would actually never would have done this in real life.
You could get his holographic image to come up for you.
Well, that's right. And it probably wouldn't even cost that much.
That's right.
Steve McQueen is a great choice. He figured prominently in our discussions and unfortunately, it doesn't sound like he'll be able to join us at MIDI Motors. So we're going to go a different tack and something that's probably a little bit closer to Dymaxion Motors and Buckminster. We're going with Frank Lloyd Wright because we want somebody who can do a lot of different things. Now, he had, as an architect, he had a reputation for being difficult to work with, but he also was a true car guy. And we need a lot of hats for everybody. And he also designed car dealerships. He designed the Mercedes-Benz dealer in Manhattan. He was the person
just torn down.
That's true. That's true. We need more of them. He also coined the term carport, and he racked up lots of speeding tickets. He was a big custom car guy. Mm-hmm. And he's got a certain style, obviously, that played out in his architecture. And we really think it's time to dig him up and see how he works as a company spokesperson.
I'd rather see his holographic image, too.
Dig him up. Ratrod Global is delighted that none of you were thinking along the same lines on this one as I was. And I just saw my preferred spokesman just last night as I was watching Top Gear. He made a little cameo. And I am speaking of that well-known automotive enthusiast and rock star, Brian Johnson of AC/DC. And this one's really easy. As we say at Ratrod Global, our ads are better than our cars. And I can very easily imagine just, 30 seconds of Highway to Hell, no words, just Highway to Hell with the Ratrod car screaming across the salt flats. The car stops. Brian leans out the window, tips his cap, which he always wears. Ratrod Global. That's it, baby. That's all you need. He's my guy. And then, by the way, you don't have to decipher his impenetrable accent.
I was just going to say, it's good that you've got the soundtrack.
We think of everything understand. At Ratrod Global. That's you right. bet.
Okay. We want to get some analysis from the war room, but before we do that, I understand we've got a video commentary. Somebody's calling in right now. Can you put that up for all of us to hear, please?
Actually, the best choice for a spokesperson for any company, Automobiles Bestango or one of yours, would be, of course, me.
Oh, Jim Hall, never short with words. That guy squeezes more syllables into a sentence than anyone I know. Let's hear what the analysts have to say about these last choices.
Great, great selection round. This was by far some of the best stuff that I've seen coming out of this group. Tonight, Steve McQueen is a great pick. The guy that invented the airplane, he's a really good pick.
Yes, the Frank Lloyd Wright brothers. they were among the greats.
And
Frank and Lloyd, right?
Yeah, both of them. And picking AC/DC, I mean, instead of just paying, a couple hundred dollars for the music, hire the man, the lead singer, as your spokesman.
Absolutely, and he's got Angus alongside him, to come out there and sing and toss around the blow-up doll, which is a big feature at their concerts. I'm embarrassed to say I know that.
Well, and then even John's, because he wouldn't invite Peter to the show, he picked his dad. I thought that was very nice of him to do as well.
And that was really, I expected much more the traditional spokesperson, Steve McQueen, the pretty faces, the high profile. Tony, that's a brilliant point because we can't give too much credit to the PR people who shape so much of what people think of the brands and the companies. And he wasn't just the first; he was the one who trained everybody in this town who followed him.
Yeah, and the automotive industry is a style industry, and you have to get people to think that the choice that they're making is the right choice. I mean, if it were just about transportation, we would all ride subways. And fortunately, we don't.
Yeah, and when we have the option of choosing the genius who coined the term carport, I mean, why not do it?
As you can tell, the voting is still going on, and people have already selected the winner even before this round began. There was about 6 or 8 votes already in, but you can vote again if you have a different device. That will also bolster our numbers. So.
And remember, if you go to YouTube, you can see what Steve McQueen looks like in a commercial, because there are some pirates who have picked over his corpse and bought the rights to his image for commercial purposes. It's out there, and he could sell pretty much anything.
That's it. All yours, Charlie.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I think the carport would be a geodesic dome, I think, is what we're hearing, because you want to land right on top of that. So This is how we've heard from the analysts, and we've got a few votes in, and we'll take a look right now, and we'll see all together that John, once again, the favored crowd is going for the hometown favorite. And again, there were a lot of comments that came up early on asking about Peter. It was nice when he showed up, and so a familiar name maybe is getting the votes there, although all those of us that are fond of airplanes would have picked the Wright brothers if we only knew that it was in him. So that's where we are right now with that round. But before we close up shop on this year's draft, you still have time to vote on the overall winner. That should be up right now on the website. So we've had five different rounds, five different choices, lots of discussion in between, and we'll continue the discussion when we're done. But for now, we're going to go back to Scott and Mark one last time for their choices for the team owner with the best draft for 2013. What do you say, guys?
Hey, thank you, Charlie. It has been a very interesting draft, and every year there's always a different dynamic. And this year I think that we got a full look at kind of how each person would approach a car maker. Mark, if you were to pick a winner, who would you think has the most complete team?
You know, and once again, given the brilliant history of French automaking, it's hard not to pick MITI Motors after having Inspector Clouseau and Ralph Gilles on their team. But I'm a product guy, and I think I have to go with Cheetah Motors. That's Cheetah spelled with a C-S, as I understand it. And, I mean, Wolfgang Dürheimer, Hao Tai Tang, the Georgetown plant, Steve McQueen. I'd buy that car.
That's not a bad pick. I also like John's Dymaxia Motors selection because I was hoping to get to come back next year, but I would have to agree that I think that Chris's MITI Motors has some of the more obscure names, and that sounds more impressive a lot of times when you're putting together a team, and Joe had a really interesting selection of people, but I think that Chubba and Cheetah Motors probably had. Probably the most engineer-based, which might be what's appealing to us, that we know that people are going to get the job done.
And no surprise that Chubba, an engineer himself, you know, in a previous life where he actually made things instead of talking about them, picked a bunch of engineers and a bunch of darn good ones.
But overall, I think it's been a really interesting mix. And there's and every year, there's always somebody that I don't know or I haven't heard of. And so it forces me to go straight to Wikipedia and learn the truth about them.
And one of these years, I'm going to plant a false entry before you can look it up. I'm just trying to figure out how can I do that.
Well, it'll work. I guess I was a little off base with the right character.
But I understand that Frank Lloyd Wright, not just a guy who built a lot of nice-looking houses, but apparently had a very impressive collection of sharp hats.
Yes,
well.
And he did build a house in Detroit as well.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Still standing.
Yeah, that would be another shout-out for Detroit, I guess, then. Which means that, really, Detroit is the winner of the draft, I think.
Not after listening to you. It's
not. Yeah. <I'm laughs> Stay classy,
so
Detroit.
Anyway, you guys can still vote, so please vote and prove Mark and I wrong. Back to you, Charlie.
Well, it's so interesting that you would have said that because as we look at the votes right now, Chubba was clearly in the lead until you both suggested that he was the winner. And then at that point, John did take the lead. So they did vote on their own. And thanks to your great analysis, again, the hometown favorite, John, who picked the hometown favorites. Once again, maybe playing a little bit to the home team, but what the heck. It's certainly quality choices all the way through. Chubba, we certainly heard the comments about your choices. Chris, there's still some people out there that like French fries, French toast, et cetera. And I don't get the deal, Joe. What's the deal with, maybe a nice article in Wall Street Journal or something about Rat Motors or something like that. Maybe it was the global part that threw everyone off.
That might have been the global part.
Yeah. I think it was just had you go.
It was either so, that or not
anyway,
AC/DC fans.
Yes, exactly. That's it, you guys. Thank you so much for all of you participating. Thanks for all of you for watching. Our team owners, John, Chubba, Chris, Joe, along with our great staff that's been working so hard setting this up all day. Scott and Mark back in the war room. We don't know where that is, but we'll find out and let them out eventually. And once again, Charlie Vogelheim, I'm out there trying to do everything I can to improve the auto industry one hospitality suite at a time. Thanks for joining us for the 2013 Automotive Online Draft. Hope you had as much fun as we did, and boy, we'll see you next year. We're out.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we all did. We'll be back next Thursday, July 25th, with an all-new Autoline After Hours. Rich Bartlett is our guest, and he'll be bringing the new Cadillac twin-turbo V6 into the studio. He's the assistant chief engineer on that. Then, on August 1st, we're kicking off the dog days of summer with none other than Bob Lutz, who will be giving away copies of his new book called Icons and Idiots. Keep your eye on our website, www.autoline.tv, for all the details.